did need a flat to dawn with plenty of tailing fish.
And the perfect fly rod.
Yeah!
And get ready for some magic.
What an awesome eat! And I got one! Oh, damn, I got him! You got it! I got him!
Join Bonefish and Tarpon Trust.
Nice fish.
And help make sure that the magic never ends. Visit tarbone.org to find out how you can help.
Looking for a new cooler with a lifetime warranty and made 100% in the United States? Look no further than Orca Coolers. These roto-molded, rugged coolers feature premium quality, seamless construction, meaning they're built to take whatever you and Mother Nature throws at them. Orca Coolers allow ice to keep for days, and they have non-slip feet so your cooler stays where you want it. With secure external latch system, the lid always stays closed. Orca Coolers, made 100% in the USA, always has been, always will be. Check them out at orcacoolers.com.
Boondoggle? What the heck is a boondoggle? Is it a tournament? No, it's not a freaking tournament. A boondoggle's just an event where a bunch of kayak anglers come together for a weekend of fun and kayak fishing. We all get together and fish, check out industry-related products, have a big dinner, and swap a fishing story or two. What's that? Sounds like a useless waste of time? Yeah, it is. So what? So get your butt up off the couch and get to a boondoggle. Bring yourself. Bring your family. Heck, bring your hairy-ass brother-in-law. I don't care. Just get to a boondoggle. Check out yakangler.com/boondoggle for more information.
Welcome to KayakFishingRadio.com. To submit your local fishing report to be aired on Kayak Fishing Radio and the Kayak Fishing Radio iPhone and Android app, please follow these steps. Step 1, create a Skype account. Step 2, add Kayak Fishing Radio to your contacts on Skype. Step 3, call Kayak Fishing Radio and you will hear a recorded greeting. Start recording after the tone. If you do not have a computer or access to one, you may call in via phone at 404-890-5232. That's 404-890-5232.
Oops, cut it off a little bit short. Hey, good Monday evening, everybody. I am the host of the Monday Night Kickoff Show, Charles Levi, also known as Redfish Chuck. Joining me, as always, my co-host, the Fishmaster, Alan.
That's right.
Allen.
What's up, man?
What's going on, brother? How are you, bro?
Not much. I'm good. Tired. Sunburned and tired, but I'm good.
Sunburnt and tired. Hey, that's a good combination, man. And I know you caught some fish today, so we'll get to that here in a few minutes. But real quick, a couple things we always try to get to, local events, things upcoming, and things you should keep on your calendar of things to look out for. We've been talking about it now for a couple of weeks. Not going away. It's going to be something that we're going to need to promote up until the day of the event. The September 14th, 2013, Help Emily Now, Help Keep Emily in Her School Tournament. That is the main tournament I think that I'm really focusing on for this entire year. It's a good event. It's going to be held at Kayaks by Bow. Let's see. Let me just read you their little intro. So we are looking forward to the second annual kayak canoe inshore fishing tournament to raise the much needed funds for Emily's therapy expenses. This year's tournament will be held at Kayaks by Bow in Titusville on September 14th, 2013. By clicking the tournament logo below, if you're on the website there, it's helpemilynow.org, I think it is, or dot, is it dot com or dot org? It's dot com.
Dot org.
Dot org, sorry.
Yeah,
you will find all the information you need about this awesome event, including registration, location, rules, regulations, and sponsors. Guys, if you haven't seen the sponsor list,
dude, I was gonna say,
dude, listen, I thought I did a good job with the boondoggle. Amen to all them sponsors that are out there, man, that stepped up, because holy night. I don't know what in the world. Everyone's got to walk away with something in the raffle. I mean, it's just an incredible amount of prizes that have been given out. Don't forget about also, too, the inshore powerboats. I went by Mr. Brad Ball's house yesterday, and Brad's giving away a skiff to be raffled off, I believe, during the tournament. So check that out. But anyway, whether you're an experienced tournament angler or first-timer, you're going to have a great time. You're not going to want to miss this event. It's for a great cause. Again, the Rouse family, our good friends Austin and Becca, they can definitely use the assistance. And once again, coming to you from as a father of a child who has special needs myself, these types of events are very, very important to those families who have those therapy expenses and other expenses that go along with having a child with special needs. So, you know, good people, great event, turn out in force, folks. You know, I would like to see some folks come in from out of town to fish this thing. It'll be a lot of fun. Alan, you're fishing it, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm definitely fishing it. I'm ready.
Good deal. Good deal.
Yep.
But,
Actually, me and the wife are going to probably fish it. We fished it tandem last year. I know we borrowed your big tuna before we had our own, so I think we'll maybe do the same thing this year, do a family tandem fishing event. We'll see.
There you go. Sounds like a good idea. And, yeah, so, folks, again, it's September the 14th, 2013, upcoming. For more information, check out the helpemilynow.org website. And you can hit up Austin Rouse on Facebook as well. They have a Facebook page for the tournament as well, I believe. You help Emily, help keep Emily in her school Facebook page. So do those, go that route and help out, man. It's a good cause. Alan, what's going on with your tournament, man?
It's plugging right away. We got a couple more sponsors lined up. We got Tackle Webs, Michael Ortego. He jumped on board last week, and he's going to be throwing some stuff our way for the tournament. Gosh, who else? Fishing Florida Radio, they're going to be throwing some stuff our way, too. So found out today that we're probably going to have the T-shirts lined up. We will do T-shirts for all the participants, have all the sponsors listed on them, probably do the Cars Park logo on the front of the T-shirts and everything, so... And getting the food lined up, probably going to get the Sunny's catering lined up this week. So we should have the official registration and sign up. I hope by the end of this week we'll open it up and we'll have the tournament entry fee and all that stuff. And people can start calling down to the park to reserve campsites and sign up for the tournament and get it going. So we're getting there. Should be good.
Awesome. Awesome. I got somebody sitting here who wants to say hello to everybody.
Kayak English.
Yeah, say boondoggle.
Boondoggle.
Yell it.
Boondoggle.
Good enough. All right, cool. That was my daddy time with my little one, Mr. Trey. Most of you guys who were at the boondoggle down at Cars Park got a chance to see Trey in all his glory. Very cool. Have you guys figured out entry fee and all that stuff's going to be? I'm sorry if I missed it.
No, we're like I said, we were waiting on trying to get pricing for the T-shirts, to get all the screen printing done for the T-shirts, and try to get something worked out with Sonny's for catering food and all that. So we should have it posted up by the end of this week, and I don't think we're going to go too crazy on the entry fee. It should be, you know, I'm thinking, if I had a figure to throw out there, I'm thinking probably $30 to $40 entry fee, somewhere in there. And that, like I said, that's going to get you entry into the tournament, lunch, you know, barbecue lunch from Sonny's, and a pretty cool T-shirt. So, you know, we'll make it pretty painless if we can. So should be good.
Nice. So cool, man. We're definitely looking forward to that. And as everybody who showed up for your trout tournament knows, it's a great time had by all. It's a tournament where we really don't have to worry about folks cheating, honestly, because we know almost everyone who's fishing a thing. So, you know, it's, and plus we've got a little kept secret, this pond behind the fence in the back of the campground. It's got about a 12 to 13 foot gator in, and you get caught cheating, you end up going over the fence. So.
Yep. It keeps everybody honest.
There you go. Whatever. We just threaten. I don't know if we can do that. We just threaten people. Anyway, so you guys heard that KFR fishing RPD promo, Fishing Report promo. I guess that's what RPD stands for, Chuck. I'm going to hit it again, and then we're going to bring on our man, Yak Chum, who does all these awesome sound bites for us and takes care of all the streaming audio and everything else for the Kayak Fishing Radio Network. Stand by.
Welcome to KayakFishingRadio.com. To submit your local fishing report to be aired on Kayak Fishing Radio and the Kayak Fishing Radio iPhone and Android app, please follow these steps. Step 1, create a Skype account. Step 2, add Kayak Fishing Radio to your contacts on Skype. Step 3, call Kayak Fishing Radio and you will hear a recorded greeting. Start recording after the tone. If you do not have a computer or access to one, you may call in via phone at 404-890-5232. That's 404-890-5232.
Awesome. Mr. Yak Chum.
Good evening.
The man with the other golden voice.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, obviously, we're trying to grow and do cool things here at Kayak Fishing Radio, and by implementing the reports into the live stream, I guess what we're trying to do is we're going to allow our listeners to not only participate, but also kind of have an opportunity to promote whatever it is they've got going on in their local area.
Yeah, exactly. We're trying to do something a little different than any other radio show out there, since we are internet-based. We do reach out pretty much worldwide. So really anybody can call in on this Skype number or user that we've set up for Kayak Fishing Radio to submit your fishing report. The nice thing about it is it's all internet-based, so anybody can really do it. And basically what we're looking for is just for, you know, it's just somebody that to call in and talk about, you know, basically their fishing experience for that week or that weekend or just a day that they got out, just to emphasize in their area how their fishing trip went, or, you know, just to kind of give everybody a heads up on how everything is going in their area.
Sweet.
Yeah, so, I mean, the idea is that I'm hoping by the end of this fishing season. It's a short season for me. I'm in Jersey, so we're done by November and don't start up again until March, but I'm hoping to have at least the entire East Coast reporting in. Yeah, it's just every state. That would be really cool to have a separate report from everybody.
Yeah, dude, I mean, I'm just saying it's definitely interesting to get a feel for who all would be involved in this. I hope that we get an overabundance of calls to help kind of facilitate what we're trying to do with the streaming audio on both the apps. So now, are we going to be able to use any of those spots on our shows? Like if there's one that say would pertain to a specific region, like for instance, if you got callers that call in that are giving you Florida reports, is there any way that I can get those and use those during the show?
Yeah, we could work on that to set it up by area. For
that's
obviously something we're reaching for more in the future. Right now, we're just trying to get this on the app, so it will be kind of a repeating segment within, you know, like a half hour of listening, you know, in between the, you know, whatever kind of commercials or show bites, whatever kind of stuff like that we have in the middle, filling it up. So
right on. It sounds awesome.
Cool. But, that's definitely the plan for the future, to get it ready for each individual Kayak Fishing Radio show.
I didn't mean to cut you off. I was just going to say, is that something that you, I know you said the app,
Is that something that's going to be on the web link and everything too, where you can just log in? And is it going to be like another link added to the website or anything, or is it just on the app? Or
For now, it's just going to, we're planning on for it just to stream on the app. I believe that's the idea Chip has for it. I'm sure it'll grow as we have people call in to where you can set it up by location and hear that report.
Right. Cool.
We're just not there yet. We're kicking this off from the ground up right now. So I think it's going to be big.
Oh yeah.
I think you're right, man. To speak about kind of where we've gone with Kayak Fishing Radio over the last couple of years, I know my numbers have gone up tremendously over the last couple of years. I'm pretty surprised actually to see where as the whole network has gotten to. But, I got 3 emails this past week from different listeners. And so I was pretty pumped about that. I know 3 doesn't sound like a lot, but when you're doing an online radio show, to get 3 in a week is pretty awesome, man. I mean, I was pretty excited to see that. So hopefully this will help. Hopefully this will help to push some more folks our way.
Yeah, absolutely. So as I was, I made the promo, and if you could just follow the instructions on that, I can repeat them real quick. It's just basically just you have to make a Skype account, or you can call in via phone. It's either or. It doesn't really make a difference which way, as long as you just kind of wait for, like, the answering machine. And then what we'd like you to do is basically just state your name or your internet username. You don't have to do that if you don't want to, but it would be kind of cool because then you know which report's coming from who. And then once you've stated that, your location, obviously, and then you can just go over, what kind of fishing you did, what the fish were biting on. You don't have to narrow it down to spot burn your location or anything. It's just, just be, generic about everything. That's the idea.
Very cool.
I can call your spots in, Chuck, if you want.
Yeah, that'll work out.
Court on you?
Yeah, cool. Absolutely.
All right. Yeah.
So basically what I've done here is I've set up a small studio. This is why it took a little while. I had to find my wires. No, I'm kidding. But I got a small production studio set up where I can take the actual reports that people call in from the Skype message and then bring it in with a little background music. That's kind of what I'm shooting for. Just
nice.
To kind of make it entertaining, but kind of filter in and kind of bring everybody in together by location. That's the idea.
Very cool. The full Monty, so to speak.
Absolutely.
I like it. Good deal, man. Good deal. Well, anything? What else is going on up in your neck of the woods, man? I saw that freaking sheephead. Holy God, 14 and a half pounder.
Yeah, I didn't call in sick today because my buddy that lives an hour and a half away from me was leaving at 2:30 in the morning. I was like, yeah, if I lived an hour and a half closer to you, I would have been in. But he drove down to Cape May, New Jersey today. 14 and a half pound sheephead.
Wow,
that's insane.
That's one of the biggest sheephead I've ever seen.
Yeah, really? Wow. I thought they were a little bigger down in your neck of the woods.
Nah. You rarely ever find them that big unless you go offshore. I mean, they hang around the wrecks and they're that size, but you rarely ever catch them for all the other stuff on the bottom. But to see a 14 and a half pound sheephead, dude, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, the great thing is I know exactly where that came from. I fished there many of times. It's just, for me, it's a two-hour ride. It's an hour and a half to his house and then another hour down to Cape May for me.
Yeah.
And to call in sick and then come home and work the next day. I was just like, oh, I can't do it. But I should have. Definitely should have on this one.
Yeah, I'm excited, man. I definitely want to try and get down. I've got some trips that I'm trying to plan right now that are a couple hours away from the homestead, and I feel your pain, man. It's sometimes it's tough to get away from the house. So, I'm sure as the season progresses. How long is your season up there? Where are you at? Where are you at again?
I live in more northern Jersey. I'm about
Yeah.
Where New York City is, obviously. I'm about 45 minutes west of New York City.
Ah, I got you.
So I'm way up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you guys are fortunate enough to have the fluke and bluefish and striper to chase after up there. I mean, that's always fun. I miss that stuff, dude. I was born on Long Island.
Yeah,
those are
three major
fish.
I mean, that's
so.
About it. Weak fish are back, which are the gray trout. So that's nice to see. And we've actually been catching some nice-sized croakers up here, which you don't see the croakers up here too much. But I've had a 16-inch and 18-inch this weekend, which that's a pretty big croaker for Northern Jersey.
That's a pretty big croaker for anywhere, dude. That's a big a big snook bait for down here, man.
Nice. I tell you what, man, that Superstorm Sandy, it did something up here because I've never seen fish the size we've been catching this year and the amounts of them. I mean, even the fluke, just doormats everywhere. It's been incredible.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, awesome, man. I appreciate it. Appreciate you filling us in on what's going on with the fishing reports that we're going to be implementing into the apps. So that's good to know.
We'll start with the app for now, then we'll let it grow from there. That's the idea. So.
Very cool. Well, awesome, man. Appreciate it. And listen, stay on the line if you want, bro. I'm going to go over here to Pepe real quick and see what he's got going on. I know he fished a tournament this weekend. He went off the beach this weekend. So let's see what's going on in the wonderful world of El Vato.
I will do. I'll be on here.
All right, brother. Pepe.
Yo, what's up?
We got to get you some intro music, man. I don't think I have anything that would work for Pepe. We got to figure something out here. I don't think. Hold on, this might work. Hang on. Heck yeah, yeah.
Jameson.
Jameson.
That was perfect.
Oh, that's awesome. That was perfect. You just kind of throws it in there. Jameson. oh my gosh. What's going on, brother? Tell us what went on this weekend. I know you had a hard time during that tournament down south.
Oh yeah, man. It was rough, man. I had a rough weekend. This weekend I fished Saturday all day pretty much in that tournament. Saturday got permission to fish off the beach in the morning to get some tarpon, and then after fishing yesterday afternoon, coming home around 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, then got beat up a little bit by the wife, too, at the same time. So it was one of those weekends, man. I got permission to do it, but when I got home, I still got it when I got home, you know?
Yeah. Well, I will say I will say this, man. Out of all of us that are in the little wolf pack, little crew, dude, your wife has got to be the most understanding woman that I've ever met, because there's no way I can get away with half the stuff that you do. You get to go hunting, you get to go fishing. I know Alan's in the same boat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, man. But, you know, yesterday I was got home from fishing yesterday, and I was sitting in front of the TV for about 4 hours folding clothes. So I knew things weren't right when I got home yesterday. So I said, I better start doing something here.
Very cool. So what happened down there, man? I mean, did you see any fish? Did you?
Yeah, we did see some fish. We went down to, we fished the Kayak Fishing Classic and fished over there towards, it was Sebastian area and Wabasso area. And the fishing down there has been tough the last couple of years. It's been really tough down there the last couple of years because of the seagrass and everything all gone. It's been on decline, the fishing over there. I haven't fished it in a while, and I fished it up last week. I went by Honest John's, and I fished over there, pre-fished it, and didn't catch a single. I caught one trout. That's right. I did catch trout. And decided to, I'm not going to fish this area. I'm going to fish Wabasso. Used to catch a lot of fish down there and everything before, so I said, I'm just going to fish Wabasso. Fish Wabasso, went with Wade. Wade went with me over there. We said, well, if we're going to catch some fish, we're going to catch fish here. show up at the ramp, it's only us two, and here comes another truck pulls in, D. Kaminsky pulls up. I go, off. I knew if there was going to be somebody that's going to be here at this ramp, it would be her. So she was surprised when she saw me too, you know, but it was only us, you know, we knew the area. So we went back in there. It was tough at first. I got a couple pops real early on top water fishing for trout. Nothing much happening. Wade, I think, hooked up to like a 12-inch redfish. Lost it as he was trying to get his camera out and stuff to take a picture and all stuff. The fish flops right out of his boat. So, so that's how the morning. Yeah, well, that's how the morning started. And then after we kept on going and went towards the back, Wade got a little bit in front of me and he started going along the shoreline and stuff. And he got to a certain area that I know there's always redfish. There's always redfish back there in this one area. And I asked Wade, I go, did you go back into that cove? He tells me, no, I have not gone back into that cove. I go, all right, just be quiet. Just be quiet and just move slowly into this cove because this cove here. And this cove here is really, you know, it's really nice. You know, it's a lot of redfish in here. Wade's first cast that he throws out there, his drag starts going off. His drag is going off. He's got a big fish on. And he's here finding his fish. He's like, oh, man, all the stuff. He's screaming, you know, Wade. And I'm telling Wade, tighten that drag a little bit. Tighten the drag. And he's here fighting the fish. The fish is starting to take him for a sleigh ride. It's a tight little area. It's a tight little cove with mangroves around you. Now, Wade is going into the mangroves. So Wade is going into the mangroves, and he's trying to fight the fish and trying to stay out of the mangroves at the same time. So then he's paddling backwards, all kinds of stuff. Next, you know, I see the line go slack. And I'm like, Wade, tighten that line, you know, screaming at him. And he tightens the line up, but when he tightens the line up, the fish got under his kayak or something like that. Something happened. Fish got under his kayak and stuff, and it was a big fish. And next thing you know, his line snaps.
Golly.
And who knows what it was. We never got to see the fish, but it was either a big redfish or a big flounder. Because I have caught flounder back there. I have caught big flounder back in there.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was either or, but, you know, it broke off. Now, I think I was more pissed off than Wade was, to tell the truth. Because, I mean, I was right next to him when it happened. So I was like, God, I couldn't believe they broke that fish off, you know. And so then after that happened, then we just kept on going. I had bad luck all morning. I mean, I kept having little bites here or there, not seeing a lot of fish, you know. I was not seeing a lot of fish, and water was kind of dirty back there too. It was kind of dirty all over in there. It looks like the grass is starting to come back a little bit in that area, but we kept on going for a while. And then Wade hooked up to some other fish. Now he hooked up to something else. I think it was a little snook. He hooked up to a little snook and loses it on the boat side again. Loses another fish.
Yeah. Someone needs to invest in a dip net.
Hey, that's what I told him. I told him, dude, you need a net. Tournament day, you need to have a net. Wade lost a total of 4 fish that I could count myself. Wade lost.
Does that count if you lose a slam?
Hey, right.
I said, does that...
If you lose a slam,
lost the slam. That's pretty good.
Yep. But he had fish. He had. He was catching fish left and right. I couldn't catch anything. And then one of those spots that Wade caught, that he lost a snook. One of the same spots he lost a snook. There, we kept on moving a little bit. We come back to the spot about a half hour later. Dick Kaminsky, she's sitting right in the same spot where Wade had lost a snook, and she caught a bull shark right there in that same spot. She caught a bull shark on top of her.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yep, it was the same spot where Wade was, the same exact spot. And she ended up catching. She ended up, I think, she caught like a 15-inch snook and a. Like a 15-inch trout, red or something like that. You know, she didn't catch anything out of this world either. So, you know, none of us did really well or anything like that in the tournament. So, And then the guy who won it, of course, is Chuck Statham from the West Coast. He fishes Pelican Island, which I have been skunked in Pelican Island 100 times, and I don't fish Pelican Island because it's just not good anymore or anything, you know. And supposedly I hear he catches like 3 slams in the same morning over there in the same spot. And his buddy that came in second place catches another slam too. So I'm like, well, what the heck am I doing wrong, you know? It's like, I don't get it.
Yeah, so it's always a hard pill to swallow to be basically on your home turf and have someone come from the other side of the state and then put a whooping on everyone. It's kind of sucks.
That doesn't know the waters, has never even fished there before in his life. So
yeah
it's kind of hard, you know.
Well, that's like them poor guys up in Charleston and up in Savannah fishing the IFA.
Yep.
And then you fish it against guys that come home and fish Jacksonville, and it's like, I mean, if I lived in Savannah and if I lived in Charleston, I wouldn't even fish the IFA next year. It doesn't make any sense because the Charleston event, the top 3 or top 4, whatever it was all from Jacksonville. And at the Savannah event, it was the same thing.
Yep. What did those guys fish? The guys who won it, where did they fish?
I think they fished in Jacksonville.
See, that? I heard they're going to change that rule next year.
Yeah, I know. I talked to some of the guys from the IFA, and they said there were some rule changes coming, including more polygraphing and things like that. And listen, don't get me confused in thinking that I'm accusing anybody of anything. I'm just saying that, you know, when you know your local waters, it definitely gives you a strong advantage. And, you know, to be able to drive across state lines to fish a tournament, I mean, I don't know, whatever. It's a kayak tournament at the end of the day. It's like,
exactly.
I don't know.
Exactly.
Peppy's
exactly,
choking on
exactly.
All right now. You're supposed
no,
to
man,
smoke
I was
the other end
I was
of
drinking
that thing.
Something, man. I choked on it, man.
Jameson.
But, yeah, man. Yeah, wish. Not on a Monday, man. Week's too long, man. I got a few more days to go, man.
Yeah, I got you. So
yep,
tell me about your beach day, man.
Oh, yesterday decided to go. We've been hearing a lot of reports of tarpon off of the beach, just right around Patrick Air Force Base in that area there. And yesterday launched out of the port. Actually, you know, went out of a friend of mine's on his boat. It was 2 boats actually. We went out on 2 boats. And went off the beach over there and headed south towards Patrick Air Force Base. I mean, that port was, I just cannot believe the amount of boats that were going out yesterday morning at 6:30 in the morning. I mean, that ramp was just crazy there. And everybody, I mean, all kinds of boats, flats boats, big boats, everything. I mean, it was just one of those days, you know, the water was flat calm and you could pretty much run any boat you want out there. And we headed out, went south, and just right around Patrick Air Force Base, around that area there, we found a bait. I mean, there is no shortage of bait, I'll tell you that. As far as pogies, my gosh, I don't think I've ever seen that much bait before in my life. As much bait as we saw. I mean, there was just pogies everywhere. I mean, we threw the cast net a few times, and one time, Adam Rowden, that was fishing with us, Adam tossed a cast net one time, and I swear, there must have been 100 pogies in that cast net that it was too heavy for him to lift it up.
Oh, yeah.
And I had to help him lift the cast net up because it was so heavy.
Dude, I've thrown a 12-foot net off my boat, and when it landed on top of the school, the net didn't even sink. Seriously, I'm not even lying. And where it was, there was so many pogies in a 12-foot net that all you can literally do was grab just a section of the net and dump out what was in that section and then release the rest of them right back in the water because there's no way you're pulling it on the boat.
Yep. Dude, that's pretty much how it was. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I'll tell you something. And I'll talk more about it when I get into my report. But when I was fishing with Alex on his skiff, the pogies are so thick in the area right now. Dude, they're in the Banana River, and they're thick, like really thick. We're fishing docks, man, and we come along, and all of a sudden there's this giant wad of pogies in front of us just swimming along, filter feeding. I'm like, are you kidding me? I mean, and studs, turbos, man. I'm talking like 8 to 10 inch freaking pogies, giants. I was like, this is ridiculous.
Wow, that's how these were. These were pretty big pogies. And but we, you know, we got a whole bunch of them. Actually, we got so many of them that we called that the buddy, my neighbors were the ones that were out there with us on their boat. And my neighbors, I called them over and go, you guys got bait? They said, oh, we got a few, but not. I go, dude, we got over 100 over here. Just come over here. We'll toss, we'll give you a bucket full. So we ended up doing that and giving them bait. But I started laughing at one of those. There was a charter boat out there. It was Fired Up was out there getting bait right where we were. If I'm not mistaken, it was them. It was them or another boat. One of those boats. I just could not stop laughing because they threw out a cast net, Chuck. I swear, that cast net must have been 15 feet wide or something. It was a huge cast net. They threw that thing out, and that thing opened up completely like that. And in order to hoist it up, to pick it up, they actually put that thing on a winch, okay, to get that cast net up because it was so heavy. And they started, I was just laughing. I was just cracking up because I could not believe how much bait was in that cast net.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was one of those boats. They must have had like about 6 or 7 people on the boat. You could tell it was a charter, you know, somebody that was chartering something, you know, one of those guys. I forgot who it was. I just know I saw a bunch of, you know, all the guides that you hear about all the time and everything like that, the good ones and everything like that. They were all out there, all their boats, you know, with their wraps on the sides and stuff. You know, all those guys were there catching bait. But then after that, we took off. You know, we had our bait and stuff, and we took off over there just south of Patrick. We started seeing stuff busting the water and all kinds of stuff, and sure enough, we were right in the middle of the tarpon. I mean, we were right in the middle of them, and they were busting bait all around us. I mean, these things are huge. You could tell these things are 100-pound tarpon just busting bait all around us. But, man, we sat there forever drifting bait and stuff, and we could not – you know, we did not get not even one hit, not even nothing even touched our baits. It was just, I don't know if it was just so much bait that we were competing with that, you know, it's just the chances of one of those tarpon grabbing ours out of all that bait, I don't know. I just started thinking that. And nothing grabbed ours. And then a friend of mine, Jake, he was in his boat about 100 yards deeper water. He was deeper water than where we were, and he was sitting out there, and I was about to call, and I called him up to tell him to come on in to where we're at, because where the tarpons are right around us. I call him up, and he told me over the phone, he goes, dude, he goes, we just lost a giant right now. He goes, that thing freaking jumped in the air, and it was huge, he says. He says, man, it was huge, that tarpon. He goes, that thing just jumped in the air and laughed at us. That's what he told me. He goes, that thing just laughed at us and spit the hook. That's what he said. So
that's crazy.
So he lost two of them. Those guys over there, those buddies of mine, they lost two tarpon. They were able to get two jumps. You know, they jumped two of them, and that's it, you know, but all the other boats that were around us and stuff, everybody, I did not see not even one boat hooked up to a tarpon yesterday, not even one. And we stayed out there fishing from like 7 o'clock in the morning or something like that till about noon, and nothing was happening. You know, at that time it was so hot that, you know, we just couldn't take it anymore and went back in. But but they're there, man. And then
cool.
I see other people off the beach. I see this guy, Mitch, I forgot his last name, but Mitch is part of our group. I saw a few kayakers out there yesterday. I saw about 6 or 7 kayakers out there. I saw Mitch in one of his pictures. He caught a 42-inch snook off the beach yesterday.
Yeah.
And I see Alex Garicci's dad catching snook off the beach.
Yeah, dad's been
feeling. Yeah, they've been laying waste to the snook and the tarpon both. I've been talking to Alex about it. Yeah, man, it's a good time of year, man. It's a lot of fun to get out off the beaches and do something a little bit different, and you know, try and target those big tarpon and big snook and stuff like that are hanging out around those edges, especially if around Patrick, because like you say, there's almost always bait at Patrick. I mean, I don't think there's ever been a time where I ran my boat up to Patrick and didn't find something that I could have used for bait, whether it be croakers or pogies or mullet or whatever. So that's awesome, man.
Yeah, it's good, man. And wait, to answer your question, you will never see me in Sebastian Inlet off a kayak.
Never. Yeah. No. Off Sebastian Inlet.
Good way to turtle right there.
Yeah, real good way to turtle a boat that way.
Oh, yeah.
I will tell you this, though. I would launch a kayak in a minute off of either the north or south side on the beach side. I would do it in a second because, dude, the fishing along the beach just north and just south of Sebastian Inlet itself is freaking awesome.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
But,
going through that inlet in a kayak, you will never see me do that. I don't care how big the kayak is. I don't care what it is. You will never see me go through that inlet in a kayak.
Yeah, no, not really. Not a good idea. Real quick, I want to welcome some of our folks that are in the chat room there. It's kind of a slow night in the chat room. We appreciate everybody who's joining us. We've got Ed from Hellbrand Leatherworks. He went offshore this weekend and ended up losing a rod and reel combo, Clay Linda. We got a guest in the chat room there. Guest, you can log in using your Facebook account or your Twitter account and join in the festivities in the chat room there. Of course, Wade, Captain Mike Ortego with Tackle Webs. Here's a little brief commercial for you about Tackle Webs. If you don't have a Tackle Webs product on your kayak, I don't know what you're doing with your life. Period. They're awesome. Yeah, you suck. So, no. Get with Captain Mike. He's got a bag that'll fit just about every kayak that's out there. You know, I've got multiple bags on my PA. Hoping to get – I got to talk to Mike about a little something for my new Orca cooler to keep my sandwiches dry. But in the underside of the hatch, the front hatch of my Pro Angler. But anyhow, check them out, tacklewebs.com. He had an awesome showing at ICAST this year, doing some big things. I know there's some awesome things going on with Tackle Webs in the kayak fishing community as well. So, and a great supporter of not only my show, but of everything that we do here at Kayak Fishing Radio. And Peppy, I believe, you know, he takes care of you too, right, brother?
Oh, yes, he does. I got Tackle Webs all over my stuff.
There you go. So, yeah. And Alan, I think Alan, do you have any Tackle Webs bags in your boat?
I've got your hand-me-downs, so thank you. I do. you gave me a couple. I do.
Yeah,
I've got them under the seat, back of the seat. I do. I use them. They're awesome.
Well, the ones that came off my Jackson seats that I really couldn't use. So.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, but they're great. I love them.
Cool. Well, so anyway, check out Captain Mike Ortego at tacklewebs.com. And then also, too, don't forget, folks, Captain Mike is one-third of the trio. One-third, right? No. Yeah, of the trio.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah, that is Fish in Florida Radio. So check them out every Saturday morning from 6 to 9 on iHeartRadio. If you're not local to us, if you're out of the state or out of the country, you pick them up on iHeartRadio, Fishing Florida Radio. And Steve Chapman and Boudreaux are the other two cohorts to that little crazy shindig show they got going on. I'll tell you what, man, those guys have absolutely blown up over the last year and a half, and kudos to Mike. I know he's paying attention there in the chat room. Kudos to Mike and to Steve and to Boudreaux for all of their success, man, because it is well-earned and well-deserved. And, again, can't thank you guys enough for supporting my show and letting me get on your show every now and again and talk about it. So definitely cool. Anyhow, and then we've got the non-pro staffer, Murdoch. He's in there. Pepe's logged in the chat room. So you guys want to chat with him, feel free to do that. Randy English, Rigger English is in there. He's doing some custom rigging over at Kayaks by Bo in Titusville. So if you guys are local and need any rigging done on any of your kayaks, feel free to contact Randy English for that. Arlie's in there. Tommy Head Jigs and Yak Chum. Tommy, here it is real quick. I'm going to throw down my report real, real fast because it's pretty simple. I got a chance to go fishing with Captain Alex in his skiff. I got to take one of my neighbors with me, my neighbor Doug. And Doug and Alex actually go back a long way, so it was pretty cool to get those guys together again. And anyhow, we went out in the skiff. We had visions of grandeur and everything else. And while it was a steady day of catching, it wasn't a steady day of catching the right species, but that's okay. We literally drifted almost completely across the river and never stopped catching ladyfish. and the best part about it was I was throwing a Tommy Head jig. I was throwing a Tommy Head, what do you call it, June bug or whatever, the red flake. I was throwing that, and with nothing on it. It was naked. Just a naked jig head, I swear. And every single cast, I was hooking a fish. In fact, I caught a trout on a naked jig head, and so did Doug. And it was just like as fast as you could go. They were so thick, they were almost rolling on top of each other, eating glass minnows. And then I look over, and I see what looked to be guesstimating, because it was a little ways off, about a, I don't remember, probably about 60 to 80-pound tarpon roll, like, right off in the distance. And I go, holy crap. And Alex is like, yep, they're here. We got to try and get something to use for bait. So we messed around looking for them. And, oh, red bugs. There you go. Red bugs. Sorry. The red jig heads. But anyhow, yeah. So we caught tons of ladyfish. We caught the couple trout. Doug caught a nice trout on a topwater plug. And I caught a mangrove snapper on an SST and chicken off the chain, which was a first for me. I haven't caught a snapper on a SST yet, so that was cool. And then we'll break you off. Yeah, I tied 30 pound leader to 10 pound braid, and I never had a retie once. I just kept catching them. And the best part about it was we were in deep enough water to where if you just gave them a little bit of slack, they'd shoot down for the bottom and come up and jump like 5 feet in the air and just give a point the rod at them, and they'd throw the jig, so you wouldn't have to touch them half the time. So that was cool. But I will admit it. I was on the bow of the boat. Alex was pushing us around near some mangroves at one point, and there were three reds that we saw while we were doing that. And I had a shot on all three reds, and I couldn't seal the deal. And I don't really know what was going on, but they were definitely skittish. And one of them, I know, it was my fault. I just like plunked him in the head, so that wasn't good. And then the other two, I made pretty good presentations. They weren't interested, so. But all in all, it was a good day. We had a great time. Beat the rain in by about 5 minutes as a big storm kind of pushed up on us. But, yeah, so that's pretty much my story. I caught probably, no exaggeration, 50 to 70 ladyfish all on one jig head with no bait. with no plastic. I swear. Like, Alex is the first one. He's like, here, just throw this. And I look, it's just a chartreuse jig head. I'm like, all right. And he's like, just throw that. I'm like, all right. So I threw that and hooked the fish as soon as it hit the water. So kudos to Tommy for making a great jig head. I never had to sharpen the hook. The hook is still sharp as a razor blade. So, you know, awesome. There you go. So, Alan, tell us what went down with you today, because I know you had a very eventful day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had a good day. Ended up fishing one of my go-to spots that has been producing very well lately, and went with a couple people from the Space Coast Kayak Angler Group, Tammy Wilson. Randy English showed up a little bit late. Steve Brand met us down there a little bit later in the morning, but I tell you what, I forgot to tell you earlier, but Tammy and I launched probably, I think we were on the water by about 5, a little after 5 o'clock, so it was still pitch black dark paddling out. And if anybody has never seen the summertime bioluminescence that we get in the river system here, it was probably about as thick as I've ever seen it this morning. I mean, it was just incredible. You know, mullet darting off, just the paddle in the water. The bottoms of our boats were just, it was like glowing neon green. It was really, really cool. So, other than that, we bunked up a bunch of schools of fish. I think I ended up with 4 reds, lost about about a 30-inch snook at the side of the boat, which was a kind of a shocker because it was out in the middle of the flats, but near cover, mangroves, nothing. I actually think it was kind of mingling with some redfish. But we had a great day. We all caught fish. We, you know, bumped up a bunch of schools, chased them around, got some good good sight casting done, and you know, we did good. So it's been producing real good in there. The grass is looking good. I mean, even here in parts of the river that have been real bad with the brown algae are actually cleaning up. So should be pretty good for the Emily tournament coming up. Hopefully have some good water quality. So but that's it. Had a good day.
That's the one thing I forgot to tell you. We were south, just a little bit south of the Thousand Islands, and the water was crystal clear.
Yeah.
And you know, he actually showed me a spot that was pretty cool. He actually showed me a spot that was pretty awesome. Actually had a really, really hard bottom, like a coquina bottom, which was interesting.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know that existed in the river. So it's something I'm definitely going to want to get back to and try and fish a little bit more. But I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. That was it. I mean, we had a good day. But yeah, you know, I think hopefully the I wouldn't say our troubles are over in the lagoon system, but hopefully it'll clean up a little bit sooner than it did last year, and be able to get to some of these spots that we like to fish for the Emily tournament and stuff like that. I know last year was really bad. A couple places I usually fish, I fished for the tournament last year, and it was tough. So, but it's not looking too bad. So we'll see.
So I tuned out for just a second, bro, because I was talking to Rob DeVore there on the line. What were you throwing?
Oh, I threw, as usual, the Slayer Inc. Molting SSB. Actually, Steve Brand was throwing a Sabil. It was some kind of a Sabil soft plastic. You'll probably know what it is, but it's a
Magic Swimmer.
Almost like... Yeah. It's almost got like little jointed back section to it. And he was catching fish. I mean, he showed me the action on that thing, and it was, it looked good. And, Tammy, I'm not exactly sure what she was throwing, but, you know, I did, gosh, I think I caught every 4 reds and that snook on one SSB. I think I changed it out kind of towards the end. You know, just to change it, I got a kind of a boogered up wind knot one time. Took the fly rod, threw it a few times, but the Cuda is not the better of the two platforms, I guess you could say, for fly fishing. Plus, I had all my rod holders all rigged up in front of me and stuff like that. So the couple times I tried to throw it, I was snagging everything. But, you know, we had a couple good schools just push right, you know, just cut right in between us. And I think we had 2 or 3 double hookups. We had 1 triple hookup. And I think at one point we had a quadruple hookup, and I think Randy got broke off. So, yeah, it was a pretty epic day, to say the least. We did good.
So it sounds like we're going to need to do a how to tie a knot seminar for Randy English and for Wade Hollowell.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. It happens. And no, I'll tell you what, speaking to you off of the show, I know exactly where you're at, and that's I think that's where they're going to be, and they're going to keep moving away from the normal spots, if you follow what I'm saying, because of the fact that there's been so much pressure. So
yeah, they're getting pressured, but
you know,
they're there.
I'm hoping to be able to get out at some point this week during the week, since Kayak Swabo is closed for a little mini vacation. I'd like to take advantage of a day during the week to get out, but you know, we'll see. I got the kids and all, so it makes it a little bit challenging. But yeah, you know, that's awesome, man. It's funny you guys keep bringing up molting, because I talked to Chris Sensi just the other day, because I had to put in an order for Kayak Swabo to fill up the pegs, and he was like, "You good? Do you need anything? Are you all right?" I'm like, "Oh yeah, man, I'm pretty straight, man. I'm good. I don't think I need anything." And I go, "Wait, actually, can you send me some SSTs and molting and some SSBs and molting? That would be great." He's like, "I got you, bro. Don't worry about it." So he just laughs, man, at how much of the molting that we go through down here. Because it's a good color for him everywhere. But, you know, we definitely use the heck out of it in this region for sure.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, let me go to – we got one more guy on the line here, and I don't want to leave him out, man. My boy, Mr. Badtastic himself, Rob DeVore.
Yo.
Rob DeVore, how are you, sir?
Oh, I am fantastic, man. I'm busy. But
I've seen you've been getting crazy, dude. You just went out to Louisiana with Mr. Sensi, then you got back, and you're doing a bunch of editing and stuff. Let's talk about that right after this short commercial break. How about that?
Sure, go for it.
Cool. Looking for a new cooler with a lifetime warranty and made 100% in the United States? Look no further than Orca Coolers. These roto-molded, rugged coolers feature premium quality, seamless construction, meaning they're built to take whatever you and Mother Nature throws at them. Orca Coolers allow ice to keep for days, and they have non-slip feet so your cooler stays where you want it. With secure external latch system, the lid always stays closed. Orca Coolers. Made 100% in the USA, always has been, always will be. Check them out at orcacoolers.com.
Fantastic. And, of course, our good friend Bill Terry over there at Orca Coolers keeps on producing new things. If you guys haven't seen the lit up series of Orca Coolers, you got to check it out, man. It's awesome. They got LED lights built into the coolers. So if you're out camping at night or whatever, fishing at night, you're out shrimping or hunting or whatever, the hunting camp, and you need to see what's inside of your cooler, just lift the lid and it pops right on. So it's pretty awesome. But all right, Rob, tell us all about it, man. What's going down?
Dude, I've been on the Yaktastic World Tour here, kind of like all summer. Very few weekends have been spent at home. And, you know, I was all over the Carolinas and Georgia and Alabama, you know, with Bob and Jim Van Pelt, you know, filming. And then, you know, of course, I was been in Melbourne a couple of times and the Keys and everything, man. So it's kind of crazy. But I didn't get a chance to talk to you last week because I was in Delacroix, Louisiana with Chris Sensi and Slayer Inc. doing some filming. And let me tell you, man, that was absolutely crazy, man. Got there Friday morning, immediately went from the airport to the water and started filming, fishing, you know. And it's sight fishing redfish, and they're big old out in the marsh. I mean, it was insane. If you've never been up there fishing, you got to go, because it's insane. It's, you know, what I would consider a really good day. They're like, it was okay. And the bomber fish that they're looking for up there are, you know, 27, 28 inches, and they weigh like right around 9 pounds. That's a good fish up there. And,
yeah, they're fat.
They're stupid. I couldn't believe, you know, I'm sitting on top of an eight foot tower on a tower boat filming, and there was a fish probably 15 feet away from the boat, and you know, if you're standing up in your kayak around this area, you know, Tampa Bay area, probably the same thing over there, and you see a redfish, you know, 15 feet away from the boat, and you throw at it, it's gonna give you a tail swirled middle finger and swim off, you know. And
right.
But this thing turned around and chased it down and ate it, and it was the most insane thing I've ever seen. You know, it was crazy. So very good days, probably 40 fish days, and good fish too, not just like little wieners. I mean, these were decent fish. So
I heard there was one casualty of war.
Just one?
I heard there was one casualty, and that casualty was a Shimano Stella spinning reel.
Oh, there was another casualty too, but it wasn't me that did it. But actually, no, we were on the boat, and you have to understand what a Louisiana marsh boat is, and it's not a kayak, of course. It's an 18-foot John boat with deck on it, you know, with all of the sea deck on it and everything, and an 8-foot tower in the front of it. Okay, it's the ugliest thing ever. But they can draft about 4 inches of water up on plane, okay, flying, seriously. I mean, I was amazed at some of the stuff that they got through. But anyway, yeah, as I'm, like, walking around on the boat, and I stepped on a cooler, and the cooler went out from under me, and I landed on either me or the cooler landed on Chris Cincy's Shimano Stella reel and busted it clean off the reel seat. So yes, that was not a good day. That was not a good day.
That's all right.
I almost had to sacrifice my camera to the fishing gods and, like, you know, do like a, you know, let's stick the camera in the trolling motor or something, you know.
Pay a little homage to the destruction of said Stella. No, that's cool, man.
Yeah.
And talking to him, he told me, he's like, I don't think Rob was prepared to see the amount of fish and how dumb the fish were.
No, not at all. That was the first day was kind of a bust because I had to kind of figure out how to, you know, like, you know, obviously due to, you know, resources and stuff, you can't just you know, leave the camera running the whole time, you know? So, because, you know, you run out of batteries and you run out of memory cards and all that stuff too. I wasn't ready the first day, but second and third and fourth days I was ready. So, and got a lot of good stuff, man. Actually, I'm editing up some, I'm doing a presentation at Mosquito Creek Outdoors tomorrow at 7 o'clock. So if you're in Apopka there, so if you're in the area, come on out. I'm making up a special little kind of a summer 2013 best of little video as part of my presentation. And some of the Slayer Inc. stuff is in there.
Hey, Rob.
Very cool.
Yo.
When are you going to have any of the Louisiana stuff? Any kind of trailers or teasers you've got out there yet? Or are you just going to wait and just launch the whole thing?
Actually, I'm working on it right now because I got Bath on the Road done. That's done. I just got to tweak a couple of things. And I did the Jack Angler Offshore video, if you saw that. And what else? And that's the Slayer Inc. stuff is what I'm working on now because the Everyday Push is, you know, still filming, and I don't usually start editing that until I get everything shot. So,
hey, Rob, when's the DVD coming out, man?
I would say probably wintertime or early spring, but We're stoked about it, and those are details yet to come.
Very nice.
But I'm telling you, this Louisiana thing was just absolutely crazy. And Chris Cincy is an absolute madman as far as, like, when it comes to fishing and everything. That guy is hardcore and into it, and we easily spent 12-hour days on the water, man. Got caught in an epic thunderstorm. That was kind of scary. It was fantastic, man. You guys will, I hope you guys really like the footage and all the stuff that I'm doing with that, because I can't wait to get back. That was the only thing I was thinking of, man. So, like, the whole time I was there, I was thinking, well, man, how can I get back? And they said it was average fishing. They said it really goes off in the fall. So, I definitely got to get back.
Nice.
The colors that were working up there, pretty much anything was work. Every color was working, but there would be certain times of day where you'd have to change stuff up to different colors. Just if you saw a fish, there was one point, there was probably a school of about 50 redfish, and you could see them all waking. And there's a thunderstorm bearing down on us, and we're just like, there. I'm up on the tower shooting, and there's three guys hooked up at the same time. And it was mayhem because, you know, Chris is like, got his fish stuck in the trolling motor, and Chris Kennedy's trying to help him get it out, and he's got a fish on, and his rod's going in the water. And, I mean, it was just... it was mayhem, and I'm sitting there shooting down on this stuff, man. It was just insane. It was the craziest thing I've ever shot.
How many boats do you guys have out there, Rob, at one time? Just I know Chris took his Hell's Bay out there, right? Or no?
Yeah, that was on Sunday, but the other we were just in one boat. And
okay.
I don't know if you know or not, but Justin Bissell from Titusville there. He was along for the ride too, man. And I mean, it was insanity. But I'll tell you something else too. That's really kind of strange. I don't know if you guys are like big on hook sets or anything like that. But when you're up there, I'm not a big hook set guy. Okay, I don't think that you got to bill dance it. Yeah, I just reel down on it fast and raise the rod tip a little bit, and usually you're good to go. Those things, man, you had to hammer those things. Because I think it was Sunday, I had a whole lot of stuff already shot, and I was like, okay, I want to catch a fish. So I was like, you know, cast, finally hook one up, and I didn't hammer it. Chris was telling me, dude, you gotta hammer that thing, man. You gotta.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
You ever watch him hook is do a hook set, man?
You don't watch it, you feel it.
Yeah. And it was just that guy, he just, you know, reels down and just absolutely hammers that fish, man. So after I lost a couple of fish, and good fish too, I kind of figured out that, hey man, you gotta really blast that thing. And so I did. And then my catch ratio went up quite a bit. But it was cool, man. It was an awesome trip.
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean,
Hey, Rob, when I heard you saying about that mayhem going on with all the three fish being caught at the same time, everybody, one fish being stuck in a trolling motor and all that stuff, I was wondering, Chris Sensi must have been just sitting there just watching the whole thing, right? He wasn't saying a word, right? He must have been real quiet. Yeah. Just
No. He didn't say nothing. and Chris Senti and L.A. Landry, these guys are like serious Louisiana like tournament fishermen guys, and they were absolutely just unbelievable. So the eyes on those guys were, I mean, seriously, they could see like a mile. Man, literally, they could see like a little teacup tail swirl like a mile away. Man. I mean, just insane.
So I'll tell you what, man. We out of all the guys I've had an opportunity to talk to and spend some time with, and well, hell, me and Alan crashed at his house. Chris is like Jekyll and Hyde. He's definitely got two sides of him, doesn't he, Alan? I mean, you get the Chris on the phone. That is very much like the Chris who's fishing, who's like very like he's 100 miles an hour and you almost gotta like slow him down, like, dude, I gotcha, like I understand, it's cool. And then you got the Chris Sensi when you're face to face with him, like off the water and away from the business side of things, and he's completely different. In fact, I looked over at Alan when Christopher showed up at his house, and I was like, I'm just thinking to myself, like, is this what they do with Chris, like. who's this guy? He's all mellow. He's like, yeah, guy. He's like, hey, guys. Yeah, what's up, man? Yeah, no big deal, man. It's cool. No worries. I'm like, what in the world happened to somebody? Give this guy a Coke or a Red Bull or something, man.
we were let down.
He was really like before the trip. He was that guy. If you know that guy, you'll know what I'm talking about. But this guy is just stoked, man. He'll call you every day and talk to you about it, man, and just like be absolutely. I mean, I've never seen anybody more passionate and just like really just loves to fish and loves to be out there and loves what he does. You know, the whole Slayer Inc. thing, that's all him, you know, and he absolutely loves it. And I was absolutely just like having a blast with the guy because, you know, a couple of times we'd find some fish and you could see, you know, and you got to remember this is an all sight fishing deal. You know, there's no blind casting or anything like that. But that guy, you can kid around with him. And at one point, you know, we got a couple of refusals. You know, you'd see a fish, you'd throw at it, and it would turn away. You know, not very many, but a couple. And when that would happen, I'd be like, oh, man, we should have brought the gulp, you know. Stuff like that. Like kidding around, you know, who's got the Z-Mans, you know.
I'm surprised you made it home, Rob.
Oh, come on. He's not like that. You know, I was just kidding. But it was a good time, man. And if you ever get a chance to go on that trip with him, it's definitely worth your time and definitely worth the experience. And you'll absolutely love it, man. I mean, it's stupid fishing.
Yeah, well, I talked to him. I talked to him right before you guys went down there, and then I talked to him again when you guys got back. And he told me, he's like, dude, next time I go, you just got to be able to go. You got to just make time in your schedule. I said, Chris, you tell me you're going to Louisiana and there's a spot for me, I'm going. Like, you don't have to worry about me making time. Like, I'll make it work. I promise you.
Bro, airfare is not that much, man, to New Orleans. It's worth every penny, you know, that you get to go on that trip. You know, you count yourself lucky because it'll be, you know, weather permitting and everything, it'll be the best fishing you ever seen. I'm not even
awesome.
Kidding. So
awesome.
It's cool. I got some great footage, and I'm like, I can't wait to go back. You know, that's like one of the things that I can't stop thinking about is like, when am I going back?
Yeah, but, that's cool, man.
I actually saw a couple of kayakers out, which was kind of funny because, you know, this is like, you got to really call your shot because, you know, we were lucky enough to, or I was lucky enough to be in a boat, and, you know, I'm not that big of a boat angler and everything. So going along for the ride and everything, if nothing's hitting over there, you know, you pick up and you go clear across the marsh and, you know, travel a couple of miles in the boat and start fishing somewhere else. The other thing that was really weird too is, which you don't really think of when you're catching redfish is you're catching largemouth bass too, man. It, probably for every five redfish we caught, you know, at least two largemouth bass. And they were chunky too. They would be probably 12 to 15 inches and close to 4 pounds, man. So man, they were some chunky bass, man. And they would eat the Slayer stuff like just like anything else. You know, it was awesome.
Cool.
So that
Very
was the trip,
cool.
man. Then, you know, flew up to Nashville and hung out there for a little while and came home. And sorry I didn't get to call in with my report last week, man. It was a blast.
No, that's cool. No, I'm glad you had a good time, man. And as always, we always look forward to seeing what it is that you filmed, man, because you're doing one heck of a job and, you know, doing what you're doing. So it's cool.
Thanks, man. I'm trying.
Yeah. So any other trips coming up for you? Any other projects in the works, you know, after you get done with
yes.
all the things you got going on now?
Next summer is looking to be the same as this summer. And so we're putting it together, and my always popular executive producer Bob Bramblett, he's the man, and he's helping put together a couple of projects, and definitely one. There's one coming up that I'm going to need you guys' help on for sure, because it's all based on the Space Coast.
Yeah.
So I'll get with you on that.
No worries, man. Late.
But everything is. For the time being, until I get everything off of my desk, which I got 2 out of 4 out of the way and done. Once I get all that stuff done, then I can start really looking at new different projects and stuff, because it's really I don't have enough. There's only one me, you know, and I can't do everything. Luckily I have some help, and I tell you, I'm gonna start shipping this stuff to Rob Lee and saying, hey dude, can you edit some stuff for me?
he's part of what you got, dude. He's part of your little crew, so you need to put that guy to work.
He's a good editor too, man. He knows what he's doing. Don't forget, man, if at the Mosquito Creek Outdoors thing tomorrow at 7, I'm giving away a camera and one of the always popular in-demand prints from the Bass on the Road poster, and so you can get that. I'm doing raffles, you know, no money, free. Just come in and grab a ticket, and we'll, you know, got a chance to win a HD camera and a Bass on the Road poster.
Is there an online raffle?
I'm sorry?
Is there an online raffle?
No, come on. It's in Apopka. It's like 10 minutes away from your house or something.
No, not him. It's like 15 hours from his house.
Easily. Actually, to Tampa, it's 17 hours.
I thought it was Island. Sorry.
No,
it's Matt Yachtrom.
Oh, okay. Sorry, dude. No online stuff. Got to be there to win it, blah, blah, blah.
No, I'm good, man. I was just asking.
That's cool. But it's going to be fun, man. So keep your eyes peeled. And I don't know, Chuck, did you see the Yak Angler Offshore Trip video?
Yes, I did. Yeah, I saw it, dude. It looked awesome. And I've got some questions for you on that, too. So I want to know more about that mothership boat there. I think some of us East Coast boys need to make it over there and do that.
Yeah, it was actually, it was the guy's first time doing it. It's the fish taxi. And, it was cool. Since it was his first time doing it, and you know, I don't fish offshore and all that stuff that much, but it was great because we got out there. He kind of let you off the boat and started fishing, but you know, you kind of get blown off the spot by the tide. You know, tide just kind of pushes you off the spot, and then if you're not like right on the spot, then you're not catching fish. You know, because it's just a desert wasteland, and then all of a sudden there's like limestone outcropping reef thing out there, and that was great. But we kind of figured out that, hey, you know, the boat finds the fish, everybody paddles over to the boat, gets behind the boat, and as long as you're within a reasonable distance, close to the boat, you're catching fish, you know. And it was easy. I mean, it was like you just dropped your bait over the side, and it goes down to 60 or 80 feet. And, you reeled it up a crank, and it was a fish on. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah, you're catching red groupers. We call red groupers trash cans, because they're usually the first thing that eats whatever hits the bottom on a reef. they taste delicious.
Yeah, they do, man. We all took stuff home, and definitely was a good day. I think the big fish of the day was 28 inches.
Yeah.
A couple of grunts and stuff like that, but it was a fun trip, man. you know, and with Mark and, you know, Bill Howard and Ed from Fish Wraps there. And, you know, we had a good Rusty Driver, man. We had a good old time. It was a good time. So, yeah, I'll give you the info, man. I'll talk to you after the show or something.
Yeah, cool. I mean, I think you guys would be into it, wouldn't you, Alan and Pepe?
Oh, heck yeah. Yeah, something like that would be cool.
Getting
put out there and dropped off. Yeah. I could do it.
I'll do it.
I talked to all the head boats up here in Port Canaveral, and nobody wants to touch kayaks. So,
yeah, they don't want the liability.
Yeah, wow. Well, and like I tried to explain to them, though, I said, you know, it's the only thing that we can do to prove to you that like we're not bobos trying to go out there drinking a case of beer, catching some fish, is, you know, most of the guys who would be interested in doing a trip like that are very experienced, and we can sign waivers, we can do whatever you need us to do, you know, and the publicity that you would get from it, plus to the future bookings you'd get from it, I think it'll be worth your while, and nobody wanted to touch it, dude.
Wow.
Well, I don't know, you know, get with your buddy Alex there, man. I bet you he knows some spots. He's got power.
It's not about
he's
knowing
working
spots.
On doing it.
Yeah, it's not about knowing spots, because I know spots. I ran my center console offshore for years, but I know. It's about finding a boat big enough to haul a pile of kayaks out there. And the only guys I know that could do that, I mean, that have a boat big enough are the commercial guys. And right now they're making so much money catching kingfish and whatnot, they wouldn't come off of a kingfish day to take us out there to paddle around like a bunch of idiots. But, and you know what? Go ahead.
It was kind of funny because, it wasn't that big of a boat that we were on. And, you know, I don't think they realized how big, you know, these kayaks actually are when you're in a kind of a small spot. You know, you look at my kayak, you know, and I have a 12-foot kayak, you know, not that it's kind of, you know, you think in the grand scheme of things, oh, yeah, it's not that big. But, you know, get it in your living room, and then you can kind of really get an idea of how big it really is, you know. But we ended up fitting them all on and, you know, didn't have any problems getting them on and off the boat or anything like that. So it was cool.
Yeah. Cool. Well, like I say, something that a lot of us want to do, and, you know, it'd be cool to see more mothership type opportunities. You know, I see what some of the guys do. I'll tell you the trip I really, really want to take, and I don't know what we're going to have to do to pull it off. I mean, I know Sam Root and some of those guys already did it, but I'd love to take the kayaks down to Tortugas and camp down there for an extended weekend.
Absolutely. Heck yeah. You don't even have to ask me, dude. You just have to say, you know, are you ready?
I mean, we also don't forget, we also have a buddy of ours who just so happens to be on the phone line right now, who's got a place that we could possibly sleep at in Key Largo that, you know, for whatever reason, you know, We can't seem to be able to put a trip together to go down there.
We'll do it, man. It's just been one of those. I just got the new house. I haven't even been down to the Keys myself once this summer.
I'm just
I have not even gone down there. Yeah, but I haven't even gotten down there myself. So it's one of those things, man. It's just not – the time is not right now. So, but we'll do it. We'll get it.
I have been on that trip out there to that, Fort Zachary Taylor or whatever it is out there. And that place, that's absolutely stellar. I mean, you know, it's primitive camping. You don't have running water or anything like that. But that place is it's something, man. Let me tell you, it is really something beautiful.
Cool. Well, I mean, I'm down. Something like that would be really cool. You know, I don't know. Like, I'm still trying to figure out how I'm going to be able to get to do the Bahamas tournament. I really, really want to go fish that Bahamas tournament. So, it's, you know, we'll see. What are you talking about? Hold on. Ed said, talk to me. Stan and I already priced that trip out and found a captain willing to take us. No, dude. If I'm going to go down to the Dry Tortugas, I'm going to take the ferry because it's the cheapest way to go. I'm not going to try and get a private captain to take me down there, which would probably cost
damn near a fortune. So, you know, that's just me.
You can go by seaplane too.
you can go by seaplane. Listen, I don't go by seaplane. I don't know nothing about landing in an ocean or, you know, whatever.
It's a charter service that'll take you out there, and I believe it's the same price as the ferry.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, there he goes. You said that it is the ferry and it's a small fortune. So, yeah, never mind. I don't want to go that bad, dude. I mean, if it's a couple $100, I don't mind going. But if it's going to cost any more than that,
I believe it was around the $200 per person mark. But it's well worth it, man. Trust me.
$200 a person is not bad, though. That's like the kayak. What is it? The extreme kayak fishing tournament series. The thing they got going over in the Bahamas. For $560, you can go to the Bahamas for an entire weekend with your room and board, your meal, your first meal, your drinks for the first night. I think a meal during the award ceremony, your transportation to and from the port when you pull in on the tug or ferry, whatever the heck it is. And then your ferry trip as well. The entire thing with your – that includes your entry fee for the tournament too, $560. Like, that to me is a deal. Like, when you factor in the room and board, you know, even the meal, your entry fee, and top prize is $5,000 cash.
That's a nice purse, dude.
Dude, that's – and that's the biggest purse I've ever heard of in a kayak fishing tournament.
Yeah, me too.
Pepe, you fish more tournaments than anybody. Do you know of anything that's like that?
When is that, Chuck? When is it?
That's next year. That's not till 2014. It's, I think, August 2014.
Is it May or August?
Something like that.
All right. I'm sure we could find somebody to support us before then. I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. Dude, crazy. That would be like the most epic fishing trip anyway. But then you factor in the opportunity to win $5,000 cash. That's awesome.
Yep. Oh yeah. It'll be one of those trips. If you want to help me out to get down there, I will wear your name on my forehead if you want me to wear it on my forehead.
Alan, listen, do you notice something? We're talking about all this offshore stuff, and Alan got real, real quiet.
Yep, that's it. That's like you. I get scared.
Alan, I'm back off the conversation.
Hey, now you guys got... Now you guys got something to razz me about, you know, cutting off people's heads and fishers, you know. So
that was pretty good.
You know, yeah. Alan dumps his kayak and Rob cuts off people's heads and pictures. I'll never live it down.
Yeah, you will. Which I already forgot about it. You're the one that just brought it up. I'll never forget about Alan falling out of his kayak every time he fishes.
I stayed dry today.
He stayed dry today. victory! No, I'm playing. Let's see. Just found my notes. $400 a person. Okay, that's for the Tortugas deal. Yeah, no. I'm good.
$400
a person.
Ouch.
Yeah.
That's about a two-day vacation? What?
The fishing's not that good down there. $400 a person. I'll put that $400 towards that Bahamas trip. Oh, anyhow. All right, cool. Well, folks, we've reached an hour and a half for the show. We're allotted a little bit more time, but I'm getting kind of tired and the conversation's kind of still rolling good. But why don't we end it on this note tonight? Next week we have a guest. Alan, do you know who it is?
Next week I think we're if I can get it lined up, we're gonna have Jay Withers from Red Zone Apparel.
going to be on.
Cool.
Talk about the origins of Red Zone. And then on the 19th will be Andrew Stern from Bending Branches Aquabound Paddles. Got him lined up,
I think next week we also have the guys from 13 Fishing.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I think we also have the guys from 13 Fishing. So that will be a show not to miss for sure, because those guys have a lot of really cool things going on. So, and of course, Jay with Red Zone, he's the man. I saw him out at ICAST and didn't talk to him. I just saw him kind of wandering around. He looked like he was pretty busy. So, but cool. Everything looks on the up and up for next week. Folks, don't forget to check out all of the shows here on Kayak Fishing Radio Network. Tomorrow night you have the Double L crew. I thought I saw Wade say that their guest tomorrow will be our good buddy from Native. I just said a good buddy. I just had a brain fart.
Woody Calloway.
Thank you. Woody.
Mr. Rochambeau.
Mr. Rochambeau / PBR. He will be live as a guest for the Double L crew, and then check out Wednesday night. We'll have the landing crew. No, yes, the landing crew is Wednesday night. Wow, man, on the Low Sodium show. And then Thursday night we have, of course, the Godfather himself, Chip Gibson, who started this whole crazy thing called Kayak Fishing Radio. Folks, do not fall prey to the hype. We are the one and only Kayak Fishing Radio network that you should be listening to. Keep that in the back of your minds as you shuffle through some stations. And don't forget about the Boondoggle as well. Yep. Boondoggle's coming up. Can't forget about that. We're within, 3 months? 2 months?
Yep, three months.
68 days.
A little over two.
Oh, Rob DeVore said 68 days.
I believe. 68. I could be wrong.
Close enough. 68 days till the Boondoggle.
I know it's under 70 because the statistician there rattled off all of the hours, minutes, and days and all that stuff. And I know it was under, it's got to be, that was like right around 70 days, so it's got to be right around there. So there
cool.
We
have a countdown on the app.
Yeah. What is a boondoggle, you may ask yourself? Simplest words, simplest terms. A boondoggle is the most fun you can have with your clothes on. It is... It is a great time had by all. It's a family type event that we get together. Kayak Fishing Radio, YakAngler.com, come together, put on these events called boondoggles. If you haven't heard of a boondoggle, you probably haven't been kayak fishing very long. The last boondoggle we did was at Carr's Park. Prior to that, we're up in Virginia Beach. We've done them all up and down the eastern seaboard, mainly here in Florida. The next one will be no different here in Florida, up in the Panhandle at Big Lagoon State Park, Columbus Day weekend. Do not want to miss this one. If you're going to ever not miss one, this is the one you don't want to miss. this will be probably one of the biggest ones that it will for sure be the biggest one we've ever done. I think we've already got more people registered for this boondoggle than that showed up at the last boondoggle. So pretty crazy. The fishing up that way should be really, really good that time of year, weather depending, of course. And, of course, as we always say, the fishing kind of is secondary when it comes to boondoggles anyway. Come on out, have a great time, meet a bunch of really cool people, network, and you know, get a chance to talk to some folks. Hey, you never know who you might be eating dinner with or rubbing shoulders with or drinking beers with around the campfire. So, you know, could be Woody, could be, you know, Drew from Jackson, could be anybody, you know, sitting around the fire with you just talking, you know. And that's really cool about it. It's a very organic feel. In fact, if you want to hear more about what a boondoggle is, you can go to, or if you want to see more about what a boondoggle is, you can go to yakangler.com/boondoggle or listen to this little sound bite right here.
Boondoggle? What the heck is a boondoggle? Is it a tournament? No, it's not a freaking tournament. A boondoggle is just an event where a bunch of kayak anglers come together for a weekend of fun and kayak fishing. We all get together and fish, check out industry-related products, have a big dinner, and swap a fishing story or two. What's that? Sounds like a useless waste of time? Yeah, it is. So what? So get your butt up off the couch and get to a boondoggle. Bring yourself. Bring your family. Heck, bring your hairy-ass brother-in-law. I don't care. Just get to a boondoggle. Check out yakangler.com/boondoggle for more information.
Awesome. So, yeah, Mark Watanabe, Adam Hayes, and Chip Gibson have been working diligently to try and get this thing put together. It's kind of crazy where boondoggles are going, man. Our friend of the show up in the Great White North, Miss Ashley Ray, she's working on trying to get a Canadian boondoggle going. So, you know, I'm down to go up and try and catch some muskies, eh? And drink some, what do they drink up there?
Molson.
Molson ice. Yeah.
Molson.
play some hockey and punch somebody in the face. sounds like a great time, have by all. Anyhow, we got to thank people who called into the show. Pepe, of course, our boy here, and then Rob DeVore and Yak Chum. Don't forget, folks, I always seem to forget to throw out the guest call-in number. Guest call-in number, write this down if you want to, is 714-816-4727. 714-816-4727. You can give us a shout anytime during any of the shows. We'll do our best to give you some time to talk about your local area. If you got a fishing club you want to promote, tournaments, whatever you got going on, feel free. And, you know, that's cool, too. So, Canadian Bass Chuck. Yeah, that's cute.
Chuck.
Yo.
Hey. One more thing before we forget. Tomorrow night, who's ever lives on a Space Coast, I know Rob has this thing in Orlando, but over here tomorrow at Boaters Exchange at 6 o'clock, Captain Alex Garicci will be giving a fishing seminar.
Yep, I was gonna bring that up.
Yeah, cool. Good point. And not to discredit what Rob and Nick D have going on over there, but it is kind of a long drive. So if you guys can't make that drive over to Mosquito Creek, you live over here on the Space Coast, and you don't go to this seminar, and then you have questions in the Space Coast Kayak Angler Forum or whatever about how to fish this or where to go or what to do, you've got no excuses. The man himself, Alex, will be there talking, giving a great seminar. And I'll tell you, out of the group of guys that we fish with, man, Alex is one of those dudes that I seem like I always learn something from every time I fish with him. So you definitely want to make sure to show up with a pen and paper and be prepared to ask some questions too. And if you can't make it to Alex's or you live over in Orlando, go see Rob and go see Nick D. You got a great opportunity to win some really cool prizes and listen to one of the best out there at doing videos. So, and Nick doing his fishing presentation as well. So, you know, lots of cool stuff going on in the little world of kayaking here in the Central Florida area. What else is going down? Anybody else got anything else?
No, that it.
Tournament.
Just calling your fishing report. Guys, call it in. Kayak Fishing Radio on Skype, 404-890-5232 on the phone.
Awesome. And Alan.
Yo.
Tournament,
November 9th, Cars Park Fall Redfish Classic. Don't miss it.
All right, that was easy. And then that's cool. Don't forget about the September 14th, 2013, Help Emily Now. Help keep Emily in her school fishing tournament to benefit the Rouse family. For more information on that, check out helpemilynow.org. You can go to Facebook. They've got a page for that. Hit up Austin Rouse. If anybody out there is listening, you are part of a manufacturing company or you own your own company and you want to donate a prize or two to either tournament, you can hit up Alan Ryland on Facebook or you can hit up Austin Rouse on Facebook. Right, Alan?
Yeah, man.
Cool. And there you go. And if you have any questions, comments, concerns about the show, things you'd like to hear us talk about, if you have any guests that you'd like to hear from, feel free to shoot that information over to me either on Facebook. You can find me at Redfish Chuck on Facebook or just type in Charles Levi Jr. You'll find me there. Or also shoot me an email, redfishchuck@hotmail.com, and I'll do my best to get back to you in a timely manner. Let's see. Anything else? Anything else? Not that I can think of. Pepe, thanks again, man. Rob, thanks again. Yak Chum, bro, appreciate it, and we'll hit that spot that you recorded before we get out of here. Alan, you want to drop your sponsors real quick?
Yeah, man. Kais by Bo, Harry Goods Outdoor Shop, Red Zone Apparel, Temple Fork Outfitters, Bending Branches, Aquabound, Jackson Kayaks, and what's that other one? Yak Gear, Railblazer. Almost forgot.
There you go. No worries. And then, of course, for me, I got Hobie, Orca Coolers, Tackle Webs, Mike Ortego from Tackle Webs. Again, check him out, man. The guy's like my brother from another mother, so check him out. TackleWebs.com. Railblazer, Yak Gear, Ego Nets, ENO, Bending Branches, Slayer Ink Lures, and, of course, Kayaks by Bo. And just so you folks know, I placed the first order for Kayaks by Bo Outfitters the other day. So very excited about that. Looking forward to getting some stuff going and getting the shop kind of moving. Got to get it moving in the right direction. So there we go. That's it. Kayaks by Bo is closed for the remainder of the week as well. Just want to throw that out there too. And just let you guys know, if you need anything from that side of things, just contact me again on Facebook. If you have any questions about kayaks or kayak fishing equipment, rods, reels, lures, whatever, feel free to do that. Captain Alex will be again at Boaters Exchange at 6 p.m. tomorrow. Always a good seminar series to catch, especially with Alex talking, man. You'll learn a lot of stuff. So stop on by and check it out, man. Don't forget about our buddy Randy English as well. He's there in the chat room. If you have any questions, comments, concerns for Randy English about rigging kayaks, doing it yourself, or having him do it, you can find Randy either in and around Kayaks by Bo or also on Facebook. So there you go. If you're not a part of Space Coast Kayak Anglers, join us. It's a great group of people, probably the best group of anglers I've ever been around, and proud to say that we are on the cusp of hitting 380 members. We need, wow, I think, one more person, and we're at 380. It's ridiculous.
Awesome.
So, yeah, it's killer. All right, people, do yourself a favor. Do your children a favor if you have kids. If not, you have nephews, nieces, don't get out very much. Take them fishing, man. They're the future of our sport. Alan and I and Alex did that recently, and I'm, when I tell you it was the most fulfilling day I've spent on the water in a long time, it's an understatement. So take care of those little ones, man. It's important to get them involved in the outdoors. It'll keep them out of trouble down the road. This world's a crazy place. So with that being said, God bless. Everybody take it easy. Be safe. We'll talk to you next Monday night. See ya.
Looking later for a new cooler with a lifetime warranty and made 100% in the United States? Look no further than Orca Coolers. These roto-molded, rugged coolers feature premium quality, seamless construction, meaning they're built to take whatever you and Mother Nature throws at them. Orca Coolers allow ice to keep for days, and they have non-slip feet so your cooler stays where you want it. With secure external latch system, the lid always stays closed. Orca Coolers, made 100% in the USA, always has been, always will be. Check them out at orcacoolers.com.
Welcome to KayakFishingRadio.com. To submit your local fishing report to be aired on Kayak Fishing Radio and the Kayak Fishing Radio iPhone and Android app, please follow these steps. Step 1, create a Skype account. Step 2, add Kayak Fishing Radio to your contacts on Skype. Step 3, call Kayak Fishing Radio and you will hear a recorded greeting. Start recording after the tone. If you do not have a computer or access to one, you may call in via phone at 404-890-5232. That's 404-890-5232.